Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. In the studio with me today is Duke. Good to have you, brother.
Good to be here.
We have a topic today these guys are anxious to hear about, you know, and it's nothing that, I mean, every person alive has experienced. This is something that is part of our lives, sometimes on a daily basis, if not many, many times throughout the day. And that has to do with anger. And we'll get right to that here momentarily and everything. But we always like to kind of let men know that of a little encouragement of continuing on and of seeking the Lord and knowing that you're not alone and everything. And I don't know if you have anything. You always do, because Wednesday, did you go last night? Did you have your deal last
night? No, it was my wife's birthday, so one of the men hosted last night.
Wow, so your wife's birthday.
Yeah.
So I take it there is a celebration of some
sort. There was. Yeah, at the horse arena for hours on cold aluminum benches while she watched her delights. So she got what she wanted for her birthday. Amen.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, thanks.
All right. So,
but I do have an encouragement, as always.
Okay. I thought that was the encouragement by saying, men, make sure you celebrate the love of your life. It may not be your wife yet. It might be your fiancé or maybe the one that you're looking at thinking about being married to. But anyway.
Well, and there's a good example where I put my wife before ministry.
There you go.
As much as I wanted to be part of that group last night, I need to honor and love my wife for that, and that was a time of celebration. So,
amen. And so other men get to see that, know that, and so it's an example.
It is. All the other men that were expecting me, they know where I was that night.
That's right.
So, yes. But I guess my encouragement also goes to how we came upon maybe this topic for today, and that is as I had some experiences this last week, I was, I guess, in the turmoil of different storms, there was a place of calm that I knew I could go. Mm-hmm. And I was just thankful for it. Mm-hmm. Because there were times when I didn't have that place to go, brother. And when I say that, I mean in the presence of the Lord, that is, be comforted in His Word and in His presence, and just remind myself of that when I start to get spun out about something, that I know that's not God's design for me.
Right.
And it's not what my first thoughts used to be. So I was just kind of declaring the praises in that last night and this morning, yeah, that, you know, I'm so happy that God felt me worthy enough to call me to Him. Mm-hmm. So that I knew what to do when I got all wrapped around the axle, as they say. So it's a blessing to have that in your life, to know that you can go to that anchor spot, that rock.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's the one who created us. He loves us. No matter how we feel about Him, He still loves us. And the simple fact is that He'll always be there. There's nothing that's going to separate His love for us. Nothing at all. And there's even Scripture to back that up.
Man, do we want everybody to know that, huh?
Oh, boy. We want to know that even more, yeah, you know, ourselves. So, you know, and that's the kind of the, not necessarily crazy thing about it, but it's the human thing about us. So anyway, so you ended up texting me and you shot me over the thing, saying, hey, let's talk about anger, frustrations and everything. And a couple things just to get going here. Frustration, here's a, I just went blank.
Here's what frustration, where it comes from. Now, the reason that I texted you that anger and frustration instead of just one or the other, because
right,
both are their own subjects.
Yes.
And we could spend hours on either, but it seems as though one how can I say, complements the other? Goes like peas and carrots?
One carries the other one.
There you go. Okay.
Frustration, the meaning, the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or achieve something. Okay?
Yes.
That kind of hits it right between the eyes.
Isn't that the, well, at least for me, the reason I thought of that is that's oftentimes where anger is born from, the frustration of, oh, dang it, you know, kind of thing. And then all it takes is somebody just to tip you just a little bit, and it turns to anger.
Well, when it comes to the synonyms that it gives here for frustration, exasperation, annoyance, anger, vexation, irritation, disappointment, dissatisfaction, discontent, discontentment. Yeah, and a word I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. But here's the definition for anger. You know, I'm going to read it out of a book here that says, but let's see. The dictionary describes anger as a strong passion or emotion of displeasure. And usually antagonism, excited by a sense of injury or insult. Okay? And then he goes on to say, this is Gary Chapman says, although we normally think of anger as an emotion, it is in reality of a cluster of emotions involving the body, the mind, and the will. Okay? And anger is fed by feelings of disappointment, hurt, rejection, and embarrassment. Anger pits you against the person, place, or thing that sparked the emotion. It is the opposite of the feeling of love. Love draws you toward the person. Anger sets you against the person. And sometimes I can only speak from my own experience when it comes to that sort of thing. I have stepped on the toes of my loved ones all of my life, it seems like, you know. And instead of counting to 10, I actually just, you know, allow things to just, as I like to say, vomit, right? And it hits those that are closest, dearest, and to me, and usually the ones that I'm trying to protect and love. And yet, on the same token, this other emotion comes out, and it goes from there. So,
yeah, there's some stuff I was reading here recently that said that 50% of people that go to counseling are dealing with anger problems. This is huge, brother. This is and there's also, as I began to study it in scripturally, which is where I go, I found that there was a healthy anger if it's directed correctly. And we'll maybe look at some of those scriptures. But at first blush, the struggle with anger is it seems to bring all this negativity. Amen? Mm-hmm. So a recent experience I had, which maybe some of the men can relate to, that led me to this. Of course, when I'm feeling spun out, my first thought, as I said in my encouragement, is, okay, Lord, what is it you would have me see in this, and how do I navigate through it? Because it's like the old country song, you just want to be mad. I mean, sometimes you want to be mad. So my wife and I have a disagreement. Not a violent disagreement, but I'm mad. I'm angry, just like the Bible says. And I'll tell you what, brother, I couldn't seem to shake it. I had to process it for a while. Mm-hmm. And even the initial prayer didn't magically remove it. You know, it was like, okay. But it caused me to press into God to know how to deal with it, of course, is the encouragement in that. And the realization hit me that it's not like you ever conquer this. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing. Amen.
Amen. You know, anger itself, it can tear apart a relationship. It breaks off communication. You know, it just disrupts life.
And like instantly.
Oh, absolutely. Ugh. And yet there's a part of that where anger is not necessarily wrong. It is a feeling that we have, especially when we're trying to look at protecting something or that we see a wrong done in something that was innocent or that you know it is just wrong, okay? And with that, how we deal with it sometimes is how people perceive us as being, man, that guy's an idiot and he's crazy, and or I stay clear of him. When actually what it comes down to is that our feelings of what's going on are very heightened at that time. And especially when we see that there's something that has actually caused harm toward someone else or something else.
That would be maybe considered a healthy anger.
Well, yeah.
I mean, really, if somebody's hurting your a loved one or best friend, you're right. You get angry at that and you want to step up and do something about it.
Well, it talks about it throughout the Bible in areas of anger on different things. You know, let's see.
Well, anger is said to be a warning flag in some of the scriptures when we feel like we've been violated or someone has violated our boundaries. But, you know, I also found a lot of stuff in scripture, like in James 1:20, where anger can become sinful when it's motivated by pride.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that's usually what gets us, isn't it?
Well, always, you know, and that's
usually always.
That would be always, I believe. We can avoid certain situations. That's usually what ends up taking place because of our, and I don't know about you or anyone else, but sometimes it's embarrassing when we lose our cool, so to speak, right? Where someone actually is looks at you and just goes, man, I can't believe he just acted that way or was treated that way or whatever. But that isn't necessarily that it's wrong, okay? Especially if there's just a an emotion of actually not hurting anybody, but just saying, I can't believe this is taking place. As an example, we'll say where it comes to abortion or something like that, where you see that, you know, and you know that things are going to take place when this woman walks into this building and the things that they're going to say to her to convince her that she ought to have this abortion or
yes.
or desiring it, that you know that it's taking an innocent life, okay? Now, I've seen people get so upset with that sort of thing that they're just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Was that what we would call a righteous anger?
You know, I would think so. But
okay.
How we handle that sort of thing is what's really, and how we deal with it is what's really important here. It's what's going to either continue to create, again, it tears up a communication relationship with whomever it is that you're talking with or dealing with or yelling at, whatever that the
yes.
case might be. Do you want to continue on with that, or do you want to continue in a dialogue to be able to take care of the situation? Because and sometimes it's like I used to be raised in our family, it's like everybody yelled. We all talk loud. And you know that. My wife says, man, you just –
Oh, yeah, I'm accused of it all the time.
Are you angry? I said, no, I'm just I'm passionate, I think. But I also had learned – that I was raised that way. I mean, my parents were always yelling at each other and yelling at us kids. And, you know, it's like everybody's yelling at everybody, but everybody's hugging everybody and loving everybody and nobody's going anywhere. Right. You know, and yet when you come around people who aren't like that, they just sit there and go, whoa. So when there really is some anger, some emotion behind what we're saying or trying to communicate, it can be taken as, oh, this person could be harmful to me or to people that are close to me or to whatever it is I'm trying to protect. And sometimes the anger can actually be used in that to gain somebody, not so much their favor as their fear.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, it can.
So, I mean, we've all done that to a certain degree. You know?
Well, where my heart went when I once again experienced anger, which I, like most of us, probably combat throughout the day from somebody cutting you off to doing things that aren't kind and all that. But I'll tell you what struck me, Raul, more than anything is when I was having this, I'm going to say, episode of anger, it seemed like things had been, we hadn't had a disagreement for a long time, so it frustrated me, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
What really struck me more than anything was that I'm my family's watching me. I'm the head of my household.
Yes.
So the family knew that Dad was upset. Now I'm not a door slammer anymore. I don't put my fists through walls anymore, anything like that, but I can stomp around and I can close my door firmly.
Right.
and I know when to say leave me alone. So what bugged me about that was what James 1:20 says. It says, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. And here I'm trying to be a leader and reflection of that in my home. That's what struck me. I thought, okay, this is not from God, not this particular anger.
Right.
And, of course, what I wanted to do was not have it occur again.
Right. You know, when we try to use that emotion to be able to gain respect or to cause people to be leaned a different way than what they're thinking that I can intimidate them because of that. Because not only is it come out verbally, but sometimes the look and the body posture that come with it, right? It can almost be considered harmful.
Or threatening, amen.
Threatening there of its own. And I have, you know, that's a part of my life in the past. That's the way that it was. And sometimes it was for taking care of myself that you needed to do that to try to back people away that were probably doing the same thing as I was doing. And
yes.
We've both been in those type of positions, and it ends up turning out not necessarily the best thing. It turns out being, you know, a physical confrontation, and all of a sudden, before you know it, it can escalate into something very hurtful and harmful.
Well, and that would seem to be part of the challenge. You know, when I was in prison, I had to go through anger management.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was such a core of a lot of crimes, right? So I go through anger management, and they give me these tools of that, you know, well thought out, well done, and a lot of people embrace them well. You know, count to 10, think of other things, and all of that. But what bothered me most about anger is how quickly it comes on, and how difficult it is to calm it down. It's like, okay, Lord, can you have this go away as quickly as it came on? There's bumper stickers that say, you know, I'm not a good person in 0 to 6 seconds thing. Isn't that so true? Yeah. So immediately I'm like, okay, Lord, how is it I'm supposed to handle this anger? What? Mm-hmm. How do I process this so that at least I minimize it? Because it's going to occur.
Yes, and it does in so many ways. And all of us can relate with this to a certain degree. But we have a tendency sometimes of not wanting to admit the fact that I can be angry, at least not at the moment in time. You know, it's pretty obvious that I am angry and everyone sees that. And if nothing else, then I begin to get angry with myself with the way that I'm displaying my feelings, right? And as a result of that, I get embarrassed or I sit there and I go on, and being a people pleaser that I've been in the past, that I end up worried about what people are thinking of me now type of thing. And I just blew that. So all these people that I'm in front of just don't see me.
They can't trust you because you'll go off.
Et cetera, et cetera. So the point is that this is something that we have to live with. God has anger. Okay.
Yes.
And it talks about that biblically. Okay. And but Jesus had anger. Okay. And we've looked at the apostles and their lives, and there was anger there also. Okay. Paul talks about that sort of thing. Anyway.
Well, and we do refer to that. I think the scriptures in John. I think it's in all of the gospels, but of him tipping over the tables of the. Because there was trading going on inside the temple.
Jesus,
about
right.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the one that always comes up when you say, oh, well, Jesus got angry. Yeah, he tipped over the tables. And that was, although that wasn't that he didn't get, like you and I might get boiling angry, he was hurt angry. He was, and I don't know if it would even be frustrated. Here he saw something that was absolutely an unrighteous, indignant thing going on to him. Mm-hmm. That's the action that he took.
Yes. Well, you know, biblically here, they're selling things in my father's house and in the temple. And that is, and Jesus actually knew what he was doing, because if you read the scripture, he's actually making a whip, okay, to be able to hit things with, okay? And so he knows what he's going to do and what he's going to say. He's actually intentionally going to do this, because this is what, it's not like all of a sudden he just flew off the handle, you know, walking down the road. No, he saw what was going on, and it burned in him, okay?
Yes.
And as a result of that, so we try to put ourselves in a position of having righteous indignation also, of being able to say, this is because of this, and et cetera, which might be true. But how many of us have actually tried to use that in cases where we knew that we were, it was not the case. We just wanted to vent.
Yes.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You just wanted to vent. You ever been in a situation where you know that somebody was so angry and something took place and the guy gets popped, another guy gets popped, and you go, wow, he just released.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with that guy.
Yes.
You know? And it just had what he stood for, and he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And you make a good point here too, brother, that it seems that in a group setting, sometimes anger will foster more anger.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will get on your wagon train. Next thing you know, a couple of people are standing up. Next thing you know, yeah that's also one of the
you
other
got
dangers.
You circling of the wagons then. And it's kind of like, okay. Well, I tell you what, let's do this because we can just keep going and going here. And I just want you guys to know who are listening that we're actually going to be just touching the surface on this thing. And
yeah,
we want to be able to have a few things to be able to give you before we end the podcast. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We're going to continue on talking on this thing on anger and see if he even knows how to spell it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Oh, your blood bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your
welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Duke and I, we're talking about anger, and, you know, you had mentioned this in James, you've already mentioned this verse, and there are a lot of verses that talk about anger, and they're all good, because it's God's Word trying to remind us certain things about it. But it says this in verse James 1, 19 and 20, "Know this, my beloved brother. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And that is part of why we're doing what we're doing. Not only in this ministry of the radio, reaching out to you men who are listening, but to remind you, because that's what you want. You want to be reminded of certain things that need to take place. Or you're saying, give me some hope. Give me something to work with here. Give me something tangible that I can say, yes, I can do this. I can attempt to do that. And when it comes to this sort of thing, when it comes to the anger, I mean, we all have felt this emotion and have actually acted on it inappropriately at times, unlawfully at times. And what we thought was going to bring maybe even some laughter to lighten a situation, it turned out totally opposite. And but see, so much of this, I got to tell you, Duke, has to do with what takes place within me. You know, unresolved anger, okay, can be known as bitterness, mm-hmm. resentment, okay, where maybe certain things have taken place in a situation in our life that maybe it wasn't completed. It wasn't tied up. It was left open-ended in a sense. So now that individual who was part of it, or individuals that were part of it, could be a body for that matter, not an individual body, a body like a church body, ministry body, where all of a sudden you throw the baby out with the bathwater in a sense.
Yes.
Well, if they're going to be like this, I have nothing to do with them, and or with, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then we hold on to that stuff, okay? And this stuff are like coals, hot coals that don't ever go out. They just stay hot, and we stick them down inside,
yep.
Okay, and hide them, so to speak, so we think we are. But there are times when all of a sudden, you know, it's amazing what can actually open the box that all of these are in. Okay, and it usually has to do with things that are similar to any of those things that we've been carrying. And all of a sudden it opens this box, and it's kind of like a Pandora's box. All of a sudden, boy, before you know it, all kinds of things come out. And we've seen that not only in ourselves, but you can see it in other people also.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I mean, I use the analogy of driving down the road, you know, of sitting there that, you know, I'm driving and I got to get someplace, you know, fairly soon. I'm going to be late the way that I see it. And all of a sudden some guy, you know, cuts me off. And I'm upset at him. I'm upset because of the situation and I'm not there quick enough. The traffic is too heavy. Now this guy cuts me off and he tries to get one up on me. Now, what do I do? Well, I could do various things. I'm not even going to mention what those, some of those things are, but they're not necessarily conducive to being a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, on the same token, that same situation that I'm hurrying to get someplace, but I have everything in my life seems to be I've turned it, submitted to God. I've accepted him in my life. I know that everything happens for a purpose and a reason. If I'm late, it's not the end of the world. And I know that the Lord is with me, and he's going to be there with me when I get to the meeting or whomever it is I'm with, and they're going to understand. And now this person cuts me off. It's a totally different reaction.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I see that. I get that. And it's okay. So I don't have to try to do the things that I wanted to do before, because there was a calmness within me in a sense, okay? And maybe not completely, because it still kind of gets me going, but I'm able to just not react to that sort of thing. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, one of the things I need to always do whenever, instead of if something that triggers something in me and I want to verbally say something or react even physically by my hands going up like, what, you know, type of thing, is to pause. Just to pause, you know. Pause long enough to just ask the Lord. Brother, you know the Lord long enough that you know that he's with you, that his spirit lives within us. When we accept him as not only our Savior, but our Lord. His spirit, God's spirit lives within us. And all we have to do is tap into that. So, Lord Jesus, help me right now. Or, Lord Jesus, thank you for helping me right now. Lord Jesus, just saying his name, okay? He actually will calm your spirit. He'll have you look and think of something. We just have to practice doing that.
Well, and I do that when I know that I could be in an environment of hostility, or I am agitated, even a little angry about something that, let's say, I find I have to do.
Yeah.
So I have time to work on that in that case.
Yes.
But, boy, just like you and I and the brothers are listening, there are times when you don't have time to process count to 10.
Yes.
And, as you said earlier, not only embarrassment, it is this, for me anyway, when I really, in the past, really would pop off and lose it, I felt bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like, what an idiot, you know. Took me a while before I realized what an idiot I was, but we do it.
Yeah.
And it's not as easy as just controlling it at the minute. So now it becomes, all right, if, as a believer, I know where my anchor is, I know where I go, I'm going to go there as quick as I can, such as my case. Mm-hmm. I had to leave the area and process it. And it took a while. I was questioning God, how come you're not just taking this from me a little bit?
Right.
But then I had to do, like you said earlier, I had to brace, okay, there's a purpose in this. There's a wisdom in this. You need me to press into you at this time.
Yeah,
That's the only defense we have, isn't it?
You know, I don't know if I necessarily want to even go to any defense in a sense. You know, our relationship with Jesus Christ, what he wants us to do is to be more like him.
Yes.
Right? He says, be holy, because I am holy. And then later on, in another part of the New Testament, he says, be perfect, for I am perfect. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're to strive to be more like Christ. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he emulated humility, okay, and strength. And when you read about him, when you come to know him more by reading about him and talking about him through his word with others, you get to see a picture of a man, okay, who is God, who is on this earth as a man, living a life that I consider way beyond what I would be able to do.
Yes.
Okay? Now, is it beyond what I'm able to do? Because he's already told me, be holy because I am holy. That doesn't mean that it's beyond me, but I need to strive for that, okay? So will I achieve it in my mind? Probably not, okay, before he calls me to heaven or leave this world, whatever. My point being is that I need to continue striving to be like him. Okay, well, I can't be like him. No. I used to use that word can't all the time, and I had a sponsor, a friend of mine, who told me, he says, "There, you can't even find that in the dictionary. Why don't you just get honest with yourself, Raul? You won't. You don't want to. You're not going to," instead of saying I can't. You're just using that as an excuse, you know, and there is no excuse. You just don't want to. And so, you know, it was men like that in my life that actually said it to me right between my eyes and let me have it, because they cared more about my relationship with God than about our friendship. Okay?
Yes.
And that I really appreciate, the fact that God put those men in my life for that purpose and time. Okay? So the same thing goes. And it's not a matter of doing it someone else's way. If we go through the Bible, and we even if the only things you ever read are just the Gospels, brother, there's so much there for us just to learn from what Jesus has done. You know, he didn't say don't get angry. He says don't stay angry. You know, don't go to bed, don't go to sleep before the day's over with. Right?
That's Ephesians 4:26. And 27,
yes,
says give no opportunity to the devil, because that's what happens when you go to bed angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, the devil gets a foothold otherwise, and then we wake up the next morning, guess what? Just as angry, if not angrier, as we were the night before, not dealing with it.
That's true.
And it doesn't mean that you got to get in front of that person. Sometimes it's a matter of talking with someone that knows you, your wife. Now, if you're angry with her, then you might have a good brother you can call and just say, you know, I've been such an idiot here. You know, I didn't die to self, or, you know, I'm just, you know, I just don't understand why this is continuing to go on. God has put men in your life to be able to assist you. He's given you a wife that is a helpmate, to be able to trust her, okay? Now, a lot of our issues sometimes with men, if we're married, it has to do with our wives sometimes, okay?
Yes.
That means there's unresolved challenges in our lives that we need to deal with. But they can be dealt with this relationship with Jesus Christ. See, if we keep him in the forefront of everything that I do, and yeah, a lot of you can sit here and say, oh, it's easier said than done, and you know, you're so righteous. No, I'm not righteous. The thing is, I attempt to be. I'm trying to do the right thing. But the fact is that everything can be done. Everything, I mean, what's the verse where he talks about that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? It's not because he's given me a physical strength. It's because he's given me the courage. He's given me the demeanor, the discernment, to be able to talk lovingly and acceptingly to whomever it is I need to speak with about something. And knowing that, I go in a humble spirit, because that's usually more accepting than in a spirit of, hey, why did we have this problem the other day? If you only saw what you did wrong, instead of going and says, hey, I really reacted inappropriately the other day from something that you had shared with me or said to me, and go from there. This act of forgiveness, why would I want to do that?
Well, and sometimes I look to be proactive. If I know I'm going to, or I'm feeling anger and I need to address it, let's say with my spouse, I will oftentimes begin the conversation with, I'm trying not to be really angry here. I want to process this so that we don't feed this. Because as you said earlier, the other thing that happens, if you don't resolve it or you don't address it, it does become a cancer. It becomes, and I know from my own experience, there's been times when old memories have been resurfaced because of some experience, and they begin to boil over, and you're even more angry than you were the original time because it revisited you now.
Yes.
And what are we like, men? Check that off the box. I do not want to deal with that again. I want to make a decision that says I never have to have this experience again.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work that way. But if we're not into the Word, like you're saying, and we're not in His presence and in fellowshipping with other brothers, that does grow.
Yes.
The cancer grows.
And that's back, once again, if we were to hear ourselves, when we, that moment in time when we actually ask the Lord to come into our lives, to ask us, when we ask for forgiveness, that He forgave us, and said, we want to be, we want you to manage our lives, Lord. We want you to just take over. We want to submit to you. We want to seek you because the way that I'm doing it, it has not been working. You know, when we can remember that moment in time and use that in every situation of going back to Him and saying, this is what I need to do. Sometimes, yes, does it come as quickly as you'd like it to? No, it doesn't. But it's like anything else. You know, the more often that you practice something, the more often it becomes automatic. When I remember being in high school playing any sport, the more that you practice these drills that you thought, man, this is so boring. Here we go, doing it again. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I want water. I want a break. You know, and so do the other guys who are doing it. But you're doing this for a purpose so that it becomes automatic, so that when the situation arises within, when it counts, like in the game, okay, all of a sudden you're going to be able to react to it. You're going to be able to do it just like automatic, boom, boom, boom. Same thing goes with this relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
These things that He says, am I, you know, instead of looking at the Word of God or listening to it and saying, oh, yeah, but that's the Lord doing that. That's Jesus doing that. He, you know, that's not, I can't do that. There's that word again that I was told that you can't find it in the dictionary. Is it my own pride, my own ego? It says I don't want to, because if I do that, I'm not going to get some of these other things I've been getting.
Yes.
I'm not going to have some of the, you know, the joys of what I, and pleasures and desires of my own mind that I want. If I do this, yeah, probably has something to do with it.
Boy, the wisdom in one of the things you just said there, brother, has to go with having another brother you can call.
Yes.
Yesterday morning, I got a I followed up on a text with a guy that I knew was going to court, and he called me. He just got out of court, and he was not happy. These things you just talked about, yeah. There were several things that fed into the court decision. He was recovering his life. He had just got a job, but he knows he's got to pay his price, and that directly influenced his job. So it took away the hope that he had, and he was angry. And so he reached out to me. He called me after I texted him. And all I asked him was, after he vented a little bit, I says, okay, I says, when you took this to prayer, what did the Spirit speak to you about this? And he was silent for a minute, brother. He says, you know what? He says, I knew there was a reason I called you. He says, that's not where I went first. He says, but you know what? He says, thank you. I know that's where I need to go. And he asked me to pray for him.
Yes.
So if we don't have that, man, that's where sometimes this anger, and like with the wife, I'll go on blaming it's all her fault for days if I don't have somebody else speaking into my life otherwise, right?
That's it. And that's why we need fellowship. That's why the Word reminds us not to ever give up meeting this way together. So there's a lot of things about how to live life in today's world in that Bible that we have, that maybe we need to open it up a little bit more than we normally have been. So let's take a break. We're almost, you know, we're getting going here. We've got 8 minutes before the show's over with. I needed to take that break 10 minutes ago. But we're going to take that break now, and then we're going to come right back. And I've got something I just want to give from this book on anger from Gary Chapman to give to you guys about how to deal with if you're angry with yourself. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
We'll be right back. Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Idols raised, tear them down, 'cause we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. To one King, we bow down. As for me and my house, we will only serve the Lord.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and we have a few minutes left here, and you know, I just want to, you know, I don't get any part of this, but this book has been very helpful, and it's, I'd like it to be able to help some other men. Gary Chapman has his book that he came out this last year with. It's called Anger, Taming a Powerful Emotion. Gary Chapman, it's a very easy read, so it's not, and it's not a thick book, but it's a very easy read, and he kind of hits it between the eyes. And anyway, so I just want to give you guys that. In his book, he has a portion in here where it talks about, I'm angry at myself. So often we get upset with ourselves, the way that we act or the way that we treated others in hindsight. Even after a period of time has gone by and we sit there and go, man, that was just so wrong of me, and I just don't like who I am. I don't like how I do this sort of thing. Well, he has five tips here on how to be able to kind of address this issue, okay? And this is if you're angry with yourself. One, he says, admit your anger. Write it down if necessary. Voice it to God in prayer. Two, examine your anger. Is it justified, or are you loading yourself with needless guilt and shame? Three, if your anger toward yourself is valid, confess wrongdoing to God and accept His forgiveness. Four, choose to forgive yourself rather than berating yourself. In prayer, let God witness your self-forgiveness. Five, learn from your failures. Take positive steps toward ensuring that the wrongdoing will not recur. Okay? So, he's given us five of those, but there's one that I'm going to make a comment on, and that's on the fourth one I mentioned. Choose to forgive yourself rather than berating yourself. And it says in here, in prayer, let God witness your self-forgiveness. Well, first off, I believe that when I am not able to forgive myself, I'm actually thinking that I'm higher than God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word of God reminds me that I am to ask for forgiveness, and then what happens? He forgives. So when God forgives me, who am I to think that I can't forgive myself when God Almighty, who created me, has forgiven me? Okay? So how, and I'm not saying this to anybody else or about what Gary Chapman said. A lot of people, they like that sort of, it feels, senses right, and it may very well fit right. But for me, I can't go that route.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that, hey, if I've been forgiven, I am forgiven. Who am I to sit here and say that, okay, God, you can forgive me, but I'm going to look at myself as I'm still want to drag myself through the mud. No. How dare I? How arrogant of me to think that I have to one-up God, in a sense. Okay? So the simple fact is that He loves us. He loves us just the way we are right now, 100%. No, there's nothing that, again, that can take His love away from you. He loves you, brother. You are created for a purpose and a reason. And if you get into his word and come to know him more, if you abide in him, he will abide in you. And he'll be there always, and you'll sense his presence, and you'll know it. So that when these situations start to arise again, or these situations that are in your heart and in your mind that you don't seem to get rid of, you'll take the steps necessary to be rid of them. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus has a tendency of putting men in your life. He already has. They're in your life. You know who they are. Men that you can trust. That you may, every part of you says, I don't want to trust anybody anymore because I've been burned there. But you need to trust. And as a result of that, God's going to reveal more of who he is to you. He's going to give you the opportunity to break these chains, okay? It's not you that's breaking them, allowing him to break the chains that are keeping you bound to these lies and this old stuff that is just eating you up, okay?
Amen. And there goes the encouragement in our Bible that because anger doesn't go away and we know we're going to have it, there's a biblical way to communicate how to solve the problem. They give four basic rules in Ephesians, if I may read it. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. This whole encouragement is how we process that, give it over, as you were just saying, and know that's just where we're supposed to be.
Yeah. All right. Good topic, man.
Yeah.
This is a topic we could talk over and over again. I'm glad you guys are here. Know this. You need help. Seek the Lord. And seek those who he's put in your life to be able to talk with. Don't do it by yourself, brother. You are not alone. Would you pray for our brothers?
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that all the souls that are listening, that they have anger in their lives, that they would take that to you, take it to prayer, share it with others, and find out what it is that they have that you have given them to handle that. In your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. There is hope, and you are not alone.